foundation of that argument. If conception is really not all that big of a deal, then Mary could have just done whatever it took to cause her pregnancy to end. And it wouldn't have mattered. Can you imagine the pressure that Mary would experience in today's worldly enticements? Pregnant without a known husband? Or maybe that wouldn't be too much pressure. But there is the embarrassment. Oh, just take the morning after pill to get rid of the problem. Or go to Planned Parenthood. Or whatever the name of the so-called caring abortion clinic. They'll get rid of that problem as well. It's getting to be so popular that guess what? Now you're actually going to be paying to support such ending life bills through your health care. That's how most view children today. Nothing but pain. Some so-called wise men, including sadly high-ranking officials within the government, believe that it's okay for girls or women to sleep around. But if they make a mistake and become pregnant, and those girls or women shouldn't have to be, quote, punished with a child. Friends, our Lord was sent to redeem mankind. That is, man's entire life. From the beginning of your life to its end. So what does he do? Does he just appear an already formed man without having to go through the trimesters of pregnancy, without having to grow up from infancy? Does he take over someone else's body as if a body snatcher? Does his word say that he just wills you to be forgiven from heaven without having to take any form? No. The redemption of your lives, the substitutionary life that Jesus came to live for you, began at the words of Mary saying, "Let it be unto me according to thy word." You Christians are a bunch that find yourselves like Mary. You hear the word of God and you are brought to believe it, and it brings life. The redemption of your lives, the substitutionary life that Jesus came to live for you, began at the words of Mary saying, "Let it be unto me according to thy word," because at those words, the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived. Life. New life for the world had begun at that moment. If life begins at any other moment, then Jesus would have started his substitutionary life at that point to redeem man and all of man's life. As David was inspired to write in Psalm 51, verse 5, "In sin did my mother conceive me." Thus, your entire life of sin is in need of redeeming. And so comes the Christ to finish it, to be its substitute, to be the second Adam from life's beginning to its end and beyond. Notice that he didn't start after the heart is known to begin beating. He did didn't start sometime later when life is then all of a sudden supposed to be viable. But Jesus started it, just like the rest of mankind, at conception. Because that's how God ordained it to be. Because that is when life begins, especially the substitutionary life of Christ for you. The very reason for this feast day is because it is such an important article of faith. Do you know where you confess this article? Well, it has to do with Christ. So it is located in the second article of the Creed. You confess, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Women call it becoming pregnant. I guess men do too. The article of faith calls it conceived. You Christians are called upon to believe, to confess a teaching which by the world is considered to be rank foolishness. Not just that life begins at conception, but that Jesus is conceived and born of a virgin. From that standpoint, from the standpoint of reason, it does appear to be a foolish concept for Christians to believe and confess. It goes against the very way that God established procreation when he said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Human reason, the more learned and wiser it tries to become, the more foolish it finds Christians who believe and confess this. But Luther would contend that the Holy Scriptures proclaim, repent and believe that God alone would be wise. The word angel in the original Greek means messenger. So Gabriel didn't just go of his own volition. He was sent by God, a messenger equipped only with God's word. That is the active agent behind the whole Annunciation. God is the one behind the verbs, active through his word. God placed into the mouth of Gabriel, which in Hebrew means strength of God, the very thing that is the power of God, his word. Gabriel, the messenger, brought God's word, which is living and active, which does what it says, which creates faith and sustains faith, which attaches itself to visible elements and creates sacraments. And in the case of the Annunciation of the Holy Spirit through the word, he attached himself to the visible element of Mary's womb, creating the one who would embody the sacraments for the rest of earthly time. Through the Annunciation, the sacrament of Christ was conceived. The embodiment of the forgiveness of sins took its form for the life of the world. Isaiah's prophecy fulfilled. Emmanuel, God with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There's a couple of interesting points to understand regarding Mary's conception while remaining a virgin. First and foremost, there's this scriptural truth that she conceives only by the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her. This reveals the all-important article of faith that Jesus is both God and man, but without sin, not born of the lineage of sinful man, but born of God. There's a ton of theology that can be delved into. I'm not present alone. The second point regarding Mary remaining a virgin but conceiving is the continued understanding of how the Word impregnates and yet keeps pure and undefiled the vessel through which it is at work. This is an early church father thought. The early church fathers were always found calling church, mother, church. Well, this understanding is extended when mother church is understood as being the vessel that God is working through. A mother pregnant only by way of the Word of God, but remaining pure and undefiled because of the Word of God. So just as Mary remained pure and undefiled because of the very Word that she carried within her, eventually giving birth to the child of God, so Mother Church remains pure and undefiled because of the Word of God contained within her and eventually giving birth to the children of God through the womb of the thought. What kept Mary pure? The Word of God within her. It certainly wasn't her. What keeps Mother Church pure? The Word of God within her. It certainly isn't us. Even though God works through sinful man, he keeps his vessels perfect because of the very Word that is within. Purification, forgiveness, life, and salvation, full sanctification. Hear the words of the epistle. Jesus brought all of this in his attachment to Mary's womb. And so this is the attachment that happens in God's holy baptism of you. This is the attachment that is sustained as pure, undefiled Mother Church continues to dole out the only thing that keeps her pure and undefiled, God's Word. God continues to bring himself to be present among you through a virgin mother, sustaining you through his words of holy absolution, through sustaining you through his words proclaimed at the lectern and here at the pulpit, sustaining you through his words of institution, bringing his very body and blood. All of those blessed means bring what the Word brings: Christ Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. Friends in Christ, it was the power of God's Word that brought Mary to believe in the Messiah before the messenger Gabriel even approached her. It was God's Word bringing Mary to believe in the Messiah that brought her to find favor in God's eyes. It was also the power of God's Word that brought about the Annunciation. The conception of Mary happens at the moment she says, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And the Virgin is kept pure and undefiled because of the very redeeming Word she bears within her. Listen now to how Luther delivers law and gospel to his hearers of the 16th century regarding this text of Holy Scripture. Regarding human reason and the truth of God's Word, he writes, "It almost seems as though God is at enmity with the world. Present conditions are so shameful all around us in the world. God allows murders, mobs, and rabble, so much violence and so much misfortune to prevail, so that we might think God is only Lord and God of the angels, and that he has forgotten of about mankind. But here in our text, we see that God befriends us humans like no other creature in the very closest possible way. And in turn, we humans have a close relationship with God, closer than any other creature. Sun and moon are not as close to us as God is, for he comes to us in our own flesh and blood. God not only rules over us, not only lives in us, but personally became a human being. This is the grace we celebrate today, thanking God that he has cleansed our sinful conception and birth through his holy conception and birth, and removed the curse from us and blessed us. Friends, it's the word of the Lord that endures forever. The power of God's word will ever continue to redeem and create true life through the entire life of Christ Jesus, through his conception, to his death and resurrection, to his ascension and the reigning at the right hand of the Father, to his continuing to come to be present in his word and sacraments, and to his coming again to take his precious, forgiven, undefiled, pure bride to the marriage feast of the Lamb that has no end. To this, may our continual confession be, Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. And he does.